Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
I had a huge drink of coffee. I kind of died or something. Okay, Maysoon, here's the deal.
Yeah, what's the deal today?
We promised the listeners last week that we would commit to our Friday.
We're really fucking schedule. Up, listeners. It's now Saturday morning.
We're already fucking up, but I'm going to put this out today. So it's actually
okay,
really even better than ever before because we're really on the minute fast news reporting.
Let's make one more commitment to the listeners to get it out by Friday.
Okay. Especially the listeners who've been donating.
Yeah,
our sustaining
donors,
Jim Prosser and Anonymous, and all the donors who have given to us. Once again, let's thank Amy Ellingson again.
Amy Ellingson, yay!
For a beautiful donation, which we heartily thank you for. And if listeners want to donate, you can hit the donate button at congratulationspinetree.com. But Maysoon, we got an email in from Rob Wolf, who's telling us about an exhibition making its West Coast premiere at the Santa Cruz Museum of Art and History. Once again, I am amazed about the existence of the MAH.
We got to get down there. That's got to be our next. Maybe we can see what's happening at the lecture series and plan like a little lecture and museum day or something.
This is the art of Hunter S. Thompson's political movement. It's called Freak Power. Hunter S. Thompson, immortalized by the great Johnny Depp, aka Captain Jack Sparrow.
Also just worth reading his books directly, probably. I mean,
you don't think we should just be watching Pirates of the Caribbean?
I definitely don't think we should be watching Pirates of the Caribbean to think of Hunter S. Thompson.
Tomorrow is the opening, fantastically, of Conrad Guevara, Turns Out, is opening from 2 to 5 at Pied de Terre at 620 Kearney Street, and that is the second floor, and it's stairs only. That kind of sucks.
Thanks.
But that's in San Francisco.
Where is that? Kearney and what?
Of course, 620 Kearney is at the cross
downtown
street that everyone has heard of, but no one will admit to.
California. No, is it really?
Street. No. Oh, I thought you
looked it
up faster.
I'm not allowed
it's
to click,
between
remember?
Sacramento and Clay Street, right over there by the Social Security Administration office. Oh, not too far from Portsmouth Square.
Oh, okay. So also close to Et Al, but Et Al's not open on Sunday. Darn it. Okay. I want to get to Eli's show and Conrad's show at the same time.
And Kathy Lou's
and
show.
And Kathy Lou's show. I have
Kathy
not. Next Saturday,
Lou's
I'm going to go to Chinatown and see all the shows.
And then on Saturday, April 30th at Slash is a performance called Towards a Black Testimony with Languid Hands and Gabriel Christian. Mm-hmm. Maysoon, Jack Fisher's got to show up.
Great.
Also, SF Camera Work is having artist Amy Bo Bien's immersive exhibition, Matter in the Hot House, is opening on May 12th. So you have plenty of time to plan for
that. Hey, you know, I haven't been over to the Headlands in a while, and I think they have a spring open house.
Yes, but all the RSVP spots are taken.
Well, how is that? It's outside. It's not all outside, but can't we just go anyhow?
No, they're checking you and they're wrecking you.
Damn. Okay, well, don't do that, everyone. Or maybe.
I got the snoring dog next to me again.
You could also, you could just go to the Headlands on Sunday, April 24th, and see if they have space for you. And if they don't, you could just go for a lovely walk outside. That's not a terrible day.
Oh, yeah, no, just being in the nature there is lovely. Hey, Southern Exposure has their big auction tonight.
Yeah, they do. What's it called? Power On.
Power On. Yep. I have work there.
Are you going?
Speaking of me and focusing on me 110%.
Kate loves this. Go ahead. Tell us more.
I have a performance thing I'm doing at Recology.
With Jeremy Rourke and Mansoor, right?
If you want to be in my actual presence, you should RSVP. It's free. You don't have to pay a damn red cent.
Okay, but they're probably going to have limited, right? Limited numbers.
Yeah, but you do have to RSVP, so you
has
can
it been announced
get
yet?
Over
has it been
there.
Announced yet? Are you like, you know...
I'll put a link
what
in.
What I'm saying
I'll
is,
put
are
a link
you letting
in
us know?
It's been announced a million times. It's
hell.
Next week, Friday, April 29th from 7
to 9.
Why
didn't you tell us sooner?
I'll
it's
put
probably
a link
already
in the
sold
underworld.
Out.
No, it's not sold out.
Okay,
I don't
put
think.
A link in the underworld.
I have to say I've been against all sorts of total annihilation.
Kate has been very
put this together.
Yeah, Kate has been like pretty anti lots of
things
lately.
This is my last public appearance for the rest of my life.
Why are you having such an anti moment?
So if you want to see me do whatever weird thing that I pass off as a performance.
This is just your stress
talking,
right?
This is your final chance.
This is your anxiety.
This is the final shot.
Is your anxiety taking over at this moment?
No, this is it. I said I was never going to do any of this kind of thing again for the rest of existence.
Why?
And I have turned a lot of things down.
You did a box derby.
I got Mocha. I got Johanna Burton from Mocha knocking my door down. I've got, you know, Documenta is asking me to headline this
year. We had a good friend, Mike Arcega, ask us to do stuff, and you're like, hell no. Remember? Knocking things down left and right, this one over here.
Yeah, I say no to public appearances, but I had Deborah Monk from Recology ask me face-to-face over the phone, and she was like, can you do this? And I said, for you, I'll say yes. And so this
but
is
like,
it, people.
But
this is the last chance.
But don't ever ask me again.
That's right. Well, she never would. After this one,
oh,
I'm
she's
sure
like,
she'll make that
Kate,
choice on her
Kate's,
own.
Are you on like the no list now? You've burned her.
I'm on the no-fly list.
No-fly list for Recology.
Yep.
And also, there's Mansoor Narula and Jeremy Rourke are also doing some kind of live activities during this. I know you just want to talk about yourself, but that's okay. I can bring that up.
If you, even if you don't want to see me struggle, there's two actually good artists also presenting that night.
And they have like some super interactive situation going on, right?
They're doing all kinds. There's music and expanded cinema and God knows what.
Damn, sounds good. Okay, great. So that's next Friday, April 29th. Get on out to Recology, our favorite dump, our favorite place for art. Our favorite dump for art.
And trash.
Can I say that? No, our favorite dump for art is going to be Recology's new tagline for me.
Okay, great.
Hey, so I thought Premier Junior was closing, and then I got an email saying...
No, this is their last year.
Last year, not last show. Okay, got it. So they have a... thank God for that, because I'd like to get out there more. No, it's tomorrow. Opening reception for Lisa Rybovich Crowley. Stepping out. It's Sunday,
April
24th, from 1 to 3 p.m. And that is on the southwest corner of 7th and Irving. It's a tiny little billboard up there in the air. And it's really worth looking for and finding and hanging out with
friends. And there's going to be pizza.
Oh, your favorite. Pizza and saxophones.
Last time there was a DJ.
Oh, that's funny. It's named after that. I don't remember who Joe Jackson is. Stepping Out by Joe Jackson, 1982.
Maysoon, I got a fucking dog snoring loud as a freight train over here.
Why don't we do a little extra recording? This is our meditation podcast where you will meditate for 1 minute to the sound of a sweet pup snoring. Maybe 30 seconds.
I accidentally touched him with the microphone and it kind of woke him up.
Oh, damn you! We're supposed to be collecting field recordings.
I know. I'm very sorry.
I'm super excited about Genevieve Quick's performance coming up at McAvoy next Saturday, April 30th. I believe it's called Hello World. And it will be full of new musical instruments and amazing costumes. And it takes place on her make-believe world called Planet Celadon. And it's going to be amazing.
Julia Bryan Wilson.
Yeah.
Curated a show, the most all-encompassing retrospective of the work of Louise Nevelson.
Oh, nice. Where is that?
In motherfucking Venice, Italy.
Oh, for the Biennale.
Say a happy congratulations to Julia Bryan Wilson.
I'd like to give a shout out to Julia Bryan Wilson for this incredible opportunity.
I kind of forgot about like the big art world for a minute, and now I'm reminded of it.
There's a lot of big stuff happening right now. There's like, well, first of all, there's the Whitney Biennial, then there's the Venice Biennial and Documenta, and is it the...
Well, I knew Documenta because they did ask me to headline it this year. So.
And there's another one in Germany. I can't remember what it's called. It's like the German Biennial? No, probably not. Berlin?
Isn't Documenta
maybe Berlin
in Germany? It's in Kassel.
Yeah, yeah, but this, I think there's like a Berlin Kassel. Biennial or something also. I don't know. Anyhow, I know a number of people who will be traveling to Europe this summer to attend all of those events, and that sounds so fucking fun to me. I want to go. It's rarely time
like
this.
Let's take a boat.
Let's take a boat.
People, we need to get real about boat travel.
Oh, boat.
We need to, everybody needs to be able to sail in a tall ship.
I thought you said, let's take a vote. And I was like, I am not voting more than I need to this fucking year, okay? That's like
voting?
Voting, V, with a V. I thought that's what you said. And I was like, let's take a vote. I was like, no.
As in exercising your rights in a democracy?
Yeah, exactly.
Not traveling by water in a vessel?
Jimbo took me out on a boat for my birthday in San Diego. That was awesome. I love boats.
Well, we got to get on it. We got to learn how to tie all the different knots.
Here's the deal. I think boats are cheaper than houses. And I was
yeah, for sure.
I was like, Jimbo, maybe we should just fucking buy a boat and fuck this housing market bullshit nonsense. What do you think?
Yeah, get a houseboat. Although,
no, get like a little yacht or something.
Bay Area Art World luminaries, Will Rogan and Lauren McKeon, they had a houseboat, and I remember them talking about how their eyeballs would get sunburnt from the sun reflecting off the water.
That's because they, really? Inside?
You gotta be very careful Damn. With your sun activity.
That's intense.
You gotta wear sunglasses and sunscreen all day, every day.
I think I'd probably try to have like those 50% shades, you know, so that sun came in, but not direct sun.
You gotta get a mister that's misting
yeah,
sunscreen.
That sounds perfect. Oh, sunscreen? I wanna get, okay, I forget. There's a town, and I believe in Italy, that's known for its perfume. And in the town, it's a small little like hillside town. Maybe it's France. Actually, it's France. They have they have these little like tubes suspended in the air along the streets, the streets, and occasionally they mist perfume. Isn't
that
crazy? It's kind of amazing. Actually, but I really was charmed by this, and maybe it's because I was on vacation, and on vacation I'm less of a fucking asshole. Truth, very much truthful. And I loved it. So anyhow, it made me think like maybe I could set up a misting situation inside the houseboat where it doesn't mist perfume, it just mists some water, like for keeping things cool. Except for it's not like it's hot in the Bay Area. Okay, I've got to rethink the whole thing. That means we're probably going to move to the summer. Move to places where I've got to rethink this whole thing now. God damn it. Listeners, if you have any thoughts on misting or what should be misted from above, you let us know.
Yes. Give us a call. 419-351-6606. You can also text that number. Or you can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us. At Pine Tree Podcast. Well, I've been spending a lot of time near San Jose City Hall.
Oh, have you just been going to the library nonstop?
Well, it is near the library, but it's where the Rapid 500 bus that I take from BART to San Jose State for my class.
Yeah,
it's where they drop off. So I'm seeing the fucking San Jose Civic Plaza all the time. Mm-hmm. And they have some very interesting architectural features there. And I'd like to discuss them with you now.
Okay, please do.
First off, if you've ever seen it, the building looks like R2-D2.
Oh, cute.
It's got a great big huge dome on top. It's got a weird normal building, but that's not that normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then in front of that is this weird kind of domed tower thing. It's a short tower. I think it's about seven stories
tall. Wait, so there's a big dome, and then in front of the big dome, there's a little dome tower?
Well, there's like a normal office building-looking building, but then in front of it is a R2-D2.
Okay.
It's a freestanding rotunda.
Okay.
Okay, that kind of resembles a planetarium.
Oh, that sounds quite large.
It is a 100 feet in diameter
structure. Okay.
And it has a glass curtain wall supported by tension cables and structural steel beams. The whole thing is like a lot of steel, a lot of gray metal, you know, silver metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a mess, I have to say.
Is there anything about it, like, does it rotate? Does it do anything? Is it just static?
It looks
it just sits there.
Could rotate.
I mean, that'd be kind of cute.
Well, see, then there's more to it. First off, I do want to let you know that it is LEED Platinum certified.
Oh, that's great.
As all buildings should be in the Bay Area.
Indeed.
If you're making new buildings. Okay, but here's the deal. In front of this building, okay, facing Santa Clara Street, is a massive installation by Anna Murch and Doug Hollis. It's called Waterscape. Remember Anna Murch taught at Mills?
Yeah, I absolutely remember her. Yeah.
And so there's this intense. This fits into our conversation because there's giant misters.
Oh, that come out of the ground, or that are like, where does the mist come from?
Basically, the piece is called Waterscape, and so there's like a cascading fountain made of granite slabs and boulders. Okay.
Cascading fountain.
So there's like a weird gushing fountains where water's kind of running over this like stonework.
Okay.
And it kind of looks like the banks of a river. I mean, it seems like it's referencing that kind of. But then there's these big metal fucking
whoa.
There's these giant metal posts. I don't know. It's like got poles that spray mist onto the plaza to simulate fog and to cool the plaza. But I got to tell you, because of the R2-D2 and then the building behind the R2-D2, and which all has this like intense steel like lattice work, it's a lot of like lines, you know, in space.
Yeah.
And then you have these misting poles, which are also lines, all metal lines. It's a lot of lines.
I'm looking at a picture of the fountain, and I kind of like the way the stone has like a rippling water effect.
Yeah, the way it's cut.
Yeah, it kind of looks like ripples, and then there's those big boulders.
But I'm like, man, you could slip badly there.
Yeah, I mean, I assume kids like are running on that all the time, right? I mean,
I haven't seen it personally for the most part. When I'm there, it's a lot of just commuters waiting for the bus.
Okay, so you're not necessarily in there with your bathing suit on.
Yeah, but maybe on a hot, maybe when it gets hot.
Because it gets hot as fuck down there, doesn't it?
So let's check in with research assistant Katie Kondo, born and raised in San Jose. Katie!
Make sure you keep that one.
You know the Anna Merch sculpture in front of San Jose Town Hall? Do kids play in the water in the summertime?
I have no idea.
She says she has no idea.
She's like, fuck off.
But it's been there for years and years, Kat.
There aren't a lot of kids. There aren't a lot of kids in that
There's
area.
There's not a lot of kids.
I don't think there are a lot of kids hanging. In I mean, if there are kids hanging out and playing in a fountain in downtown San Jose, it's in the middle of the park, not in front of City Hall.
The park with the Quetzalcoatl statue? Oh, okay.
Got it.
Well, people aren't there, Maysoon, to hang out and play there. Oh, my goodness.
Hi.
Hi. I think I accidentally hit a button.
Okay. Shit, what am I doing?
So, Maysoon, kids aren't... Oh, my God. I accidentally hung up on Maysoon twice. Okay.
For some reason, I was merging you with a call for... I was, like, calling Julia Goodman and trying to merge our calls, which I didn't mean to, so I had to hang up.
Okay. So anyhow, point is, there's no kids. There's just people waiting for the bus. But wait, I have one more layer of madness on this whole little complex there.
Is it actually misting, though, or is it just like spurts of water flying up into the air? Like, are they intentionally trying to create mist?
Yeah, I haven't seen it when it's on.
Oh, gosh.
I haven't seen it when the misters
are
going.
Well, Kate, can you do more reconnaissance next time?
Well, but I don't think it's on at this time of year.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what is on.
Yes, tell us.
A tunnel of LED lights right in front of that. So you got R2-D2.
Oh, my God, it's way too much going on.
Sculpture. Then now they've just recently put in this, a long tunnel. It's hoops, big hoops that you could walk like four people through. Okay, but there's a long line of them. So when you look at it from a frontal view, it looks like a tunnel of undulating lights.
Okay.
And so I'm often waiting for the bus at night, and this tunnel is going, and there's music coming from somewhere.
Wow.
And people can walk through this tunnel, and there's a lot. When I last was there, it was a lot of yellow and blue, and I couldn't tell if it was for Ukraine or if it was for the Warriors.
Definitely. Yeah. Good one. That's a good one. That's actually quite confusing. I'm going to keep talking. Well, you know, the R2-D2 structure is really bizarre. I am looking at it. It kind of looks like a metal trash can a little bit, like a supersized metal trash can. Kate, where the hell are you?
Can't you hear me? Wait, you can hear me?
I can. Yes.
Oh, okay.
What happened?
I think it's because my wireless headphones aren't working.
Okay. And that leads us to our new segment. mid-year predictions.
Okay, we had a lot of technical issues, but okay, Maysoon,
yes.
Let's get into predictions.
We got our mid-year predictions.
The last, what do we got here? The last two-thirds of 2022.
Okay, well, I really think wires are coming back.
Everyone's
been
never coming
into
back.
Wireless this, wireless that. My earbuds are wireless. Wah, wah, boo, boo, wah. Whenever... Whenever someone uses a fucking wired thing or wireless thing, it doesn't fucking work. So guess what?
It does.
Wires are
it
coming back.
Work.
You have been disconnected for half this fucking call.
Well, that's just because my headphones battery died.
Right. Doesn't work. Just doesn't work. It's not as reliable.
Oh my god. Batteries equal do work.
Batteries are terrible. Batteries are going.
Okay. My prediction is... Ugh, God, I don't know. Everything's looking so bad right now. It's hard to make any fun predictions.
Okay, anything with neon light tubes?
Lights are definitely in the mix. You know what I think is coming back?
What?
Oh, I don't know.
Trees are coming back. That's for damn sure.
I had a lot of strong thoughts on what's coming back or not, and now I can't remember any of them.
The fleeting yeah. Long-term memory is hopefully coming back. How about that?
Yeah, I love that. Okay, Maysoon, remember a few episodes ago when I was shit-talking Art about global warming, that it's like trying to put out a forest fire with your, like, Nalgene canteen?
With your plastic bottle. How about that? Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I was like, if somebody really wanted to do something real, they could like strip all the lead paint out of a thing. Okay, well, that's been haunting me because getting rid of lead paint doesn't do shit for global warming.
Oh, but it might do shit for a local community.
Right, yeah. I mean, not that it, I mean, obviously it still needs to happen, but it's not going to reduce like greenhouse right. gas emissions.
It's maybe more small scale, like get people to be more healthy and less impacted well, by lead paint.
Yeah,
and then
it's
maybe
a pollution issue, but it's yeah. not a global warming issue.
Well, it's just too, it's a very small part of it, don't you think? Pollution is a global warming issue. It's just,
well, no,
only.
I mean, having lead paint doesn't add carbon emission or like greenhouse gas emissions into the air.
Right. Okay.
So it's not contributing to global warming.
Okay.
It's still a good thing to
it's
do. Get rid of lead paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get it out of those
but
pipes.
It's not
get it out of the water supply.
Address global warming. Yeah. That's all. I know that the listeners have been really, really grinding their gears about that one. So,
have you gotten any feedback about that one?
No. No one ever gives a shit about anything. All anyone wants to talk about is why tall men are sexy.
Oh, my God. Have we gotten any more feedback around that?
I got a lot on Instagram.
You did? Oh, cool.
Yeah. Actually, one person, because there were a few people talking about having... talking about like gender identity, basically, that like being the smaller person makes a straight woman feel more feminine. Mm-hmm. And I just think I never thought about straight cis women and the need for gender affirmation. You know, because I feel like cis people are just as much involved in like gender, all the different needs for gender identity affirmation, but it's not, I don't think about it very much.
Right.
But straight cis people are very invested in gender.
Sure. Well, yeah, of course they are. They seem to be the most invested in gender.
Okay, this listener's writing in and they're saying, okay, they start off with a long thing thanking for the show, which I'm not going to read because it feels too self-congratulatory.
Okay.
Okay, listener says, I work with a lot of fluorescent paint and glow-in-the-dark paint, paints that, whose archival properties I'm worried about.
Oh.
Is all my work going to look bad in 20 years? Should I even care?
Wow.
What do you
Damn.
Think?
I have absolutely no idea how those paints differ from, like, your regular oil paints or whatever. Do you? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, this is probably acrylic paint, but yeah. it's just got all these wild, wacky stuff going on.
My initial thought
I
is
don't
that
know.
It
I think about
very
that
toxic
too, honestly.
To me, honestly, but I don't really know if it is.
Wait, what? All paint is toxic, Maysoon.
No matter
you gotta
what.
Stop eating it.
No.
Stop eating now!
I'm not eating it. I just mean in general.
Okay. Don't put it on your lips.
I guess you could paint with like more natural. Aren't there natural? Are they coming up with like a new line of like organic natural paints? Less toxic.
Well,
do they have that?
Even like egg tempera has pigment in it, and pigment you don't want to consume.
No, I'm not talking about eating. I'm just talking about we're talking in general for our earth, right? Like, is there a more sustainable paint out there? Sorry, this is really getting off the listener's question, but now I'm on another tangent, of course.
That's a great point on Earth Day here, our most beloved holiday.
Yeah.
I think you kind of want to, if you're really concerned about sustainability and stuff like that, maybe stay away from paint.
Or maybe just use the pigments directly without all
No, because the pigments, they have to mine those, and that mining is bad for the earth.
I guess you could just try to find like natural materials in your backyard and see what comes of it. That sounds really
difficult.
Yeah, work
with whatever you can find on the ground. That's the most sustainable.
I mean, we have lots of different. Okay, no, let's not get it. I was going to start talking about bodily fluids. But let's not
and
get
also,
into that.
Like working with pigments, like people that create, you know, mix up their own paints from pigments and linseed oil, whatever you're using.
Yeah.
Like that, you got to be very safe about that because having all that particulate matter.
Well, there's all sorts of plants that have like natural dyeing material qualities. I imagine you could sort of try to do stuff with that. Anyhow, just things to think about here on this Earth Day weekend. And back to our listener's question. Do you have, I mean, you're the painter in the group. Do you have any advice for that person and around the archiving of fluorescent and what was the other one? Fluorescent colors? Glow in the dark. I loved glow in the dark paint when I was a kid. Damn.
I don't know. I just also am concerned about that. I have a painter friend who was just talking about all the hot pink. It seems like hot pink has been, like fluorescent hot pink has been everywhere lately, it feels like.
Okay.
And I don't know. I've definitely seen work that is old that kind of loses its luster. Oh, uh-huh. And so I don't know. I don't know about that one. I really don't. I mean,
are you an art conservator? Can you call us in and let us know what you think about this? I'm going to ask some people that I know who are conservators.
Yeah, say what's going on with all the fluorescent colors. Is this going to be a recipe for disaster in 20 years when everything's going to look like
everything's gray?
You know,
gray,
Easter.
Pinkish gray.
Yeah, it's going to look pastel, chalky.
Yeah, really, really not the same vibe for sure.
I know when I worked at this is not exactly on target of what we're talking about.
We're clearly struggling a little bit, writer, so just bear with us here.
When I worked at the Oakland Museum, we went and looked at the like storage of all the artwork that's not on display.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
And there was this massive acrylic sculpture, you know, and so acrylic is like, you know, basically plastic, like clear plastic. And this piece had been displayed outdoors, and it's supposed to be just clear, like glass.
Right.
And this thing was yellow to the gills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
From the sun and whatever else. And, man, it was...
Was it also kind of foggy? Was it still clear or was it just like a bit of...
Nah, it was looking gnar, like somebody had just been like smoking cigarettes inside it for 30 years.
Yeah.
A lot of this, like, polymers and, you know, chemical stuff, it seems like we're really diving in. I mean, and that thing was from the 70s.
Yeah,
so
not even
not
that long
like,
ago in the scheme of things.
We're really diving into these media.
All the more reason.
But maybe that's the point. Maybe it's about now. It's not about the future. Okay. That's going to be my advice to the listener. Listener, look, if you want to be making shit with hot pink and glow in the dark and whatever the fuck, it sounds like you're here for the feelings of now. And who cares what the future brings? You know, let's get into accelerationism.
That's a great message on Earth Day weekend.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Gives
smoke them while you got them.
The
yep.
Oh, God. Say the people with no children in their lives. Or
See,
no children.
Now I'm fired from Recology.
You're kind of fired. I think you're fired.
No, guys.
You're fired.
Reduce,
for like
reuse,
at least a
recycle.
Week.
It's Earth Day. We got to get Ed Begley Jr. style in this world. You know, Ed Begley Jr. only produces one shoebox of waste per month.
Oh, really?
He's going full on. He's got solar panels. He's an actor.
Oh, okay. Well, he probably also
know
has
him
like
from such shows
tons
as
of money to do what he wants with it.
All the Christopher Guest movies. Mm-hmm. He was in Arrested Development.
Okay, I know that show.
I think he was on Maude or something, one of those old shows. Oh. He's been acting forever.
Ed Begley Jr. Oh, I see
him. He's a tall blonde man.
I like that guy. He's got a really friendly face.
Yeah, and he's very serious about sustainability and reducing his carbon footprint.
His Wikipedia calls him an American actor and environmental activist in the same sentence.
It's all pretty grim. I was listening to Uninhabitable Earth, the book on tape with my mom.
Oh, sweet. That's a nice thing.
And it is gnar-gnar. We're headed for dark days ahead.
It is incredibly gnar-gnar.
Yep. But we can still fix it, Maysoon.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Okay, everyone. Number one, don't eat meat. Number two, don't drive. Number three, don't fly in a plane. Number four, all the CEOs of oil and natural gas companies.
When do the corporations come into your list? Because I feel like that's
number
one, actually.
Number five, we need to dismantle the U.S. military. It is one of the biggest greenhouse gas emitters on Earth is the U.S. military.
Wow. Yeah, of course.
Number seven.
Six.
Is that seven?
Six.
Number six.
I think those are pretty good. Let's not overwhelm listeners. Let's just give them the top. Or should we give them some like a little bit easier things they can work on?
Number eight, plant a tree. Make sure it's one of those good trees, though, because there's bad trees.
Yeah.
Number nine, give all the land back to the indigenous people of your area. Number nine. What do you got?
That was number nine and 10 and eight. Can you please stop watering your sidewalk? We're in a fucking drought. I don't know who you are. Just stop doing that. It's not, you do not need to water your sidewalk. You can take your broom out and you can just sweep the fucking leaf in the crack of the sidewalk to the street.
Okay, well, Maysoon, I'm going to be not watering from the bridge.
Yeah, me too, to the other bridge, on the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.